Hey, good morning, everyone. Mr. Lederfiend, Mr. Lederfiend. You here, Mr. Lederfiend? Can everyone hear me? Can everyone hear me?
Yes, we hear you.
Okay, great. One moment. All right. Today, Mr. Lederfiend has yard site for his father. So we're going to learn L'zecher L'ilui Nishmas. His father's name is Mendel Ben Yaakov. Mendel Ben Yaakov, may his neshama have an aliyah. May have a lichta gan eden in the zchus of the learning that we do today. And so we're up to pasuk. We're now up to pasuk. We started pasuk yud. Okay, we started pasuk. I'm going to read the pasuk. I'm going to read the pasuk again. Ru'ucha. Okay, the first there are. Then we have the next part of the pasuk. We pretty much do most of the pasuk. I think the only thing that we did not yet do really is the malbum. We have to do the malbum. We have to do the likutei shas. But let's review what we learned so far. The beginning of the pasuk says that they saw you. They were afraid of you. The mountains. Which mountains are we referring to? We had different interpretation. We had the Targum. The Targum we left off yesterday told us that this refers to Matan Torah, Har Sinai. We learned the Mitzudos that taught us that this pasuk is referring to the Hare Arnoin. We learned the other commentator, the Radak, that says this refers to the mighty nations, the kings of Canaan. Okay, the kings of Canaan, they are, it's a metaphor, they are the mountains. They saw the Jewish people enter into the land and they were terrified. Zere mayim avar, a torrent of water passed. According to most of the commentators, this refers to the Yardane. The Yardane stood up like a mound, a large mound. According to the Unkelis, this refers to, it's a metaphor for HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he revealed himself at Har Sinai. The clouds in Shemayim, they were filled with water and they gave forth loud noise towards the Tehoim. And then the pasuk concludes, Roim Yodeu Nasa, the exaltedness of his hand was elevated. And the Ulus right now simply refers to the hand of Hashem. Hashem's hand who orchestrated and revealed himself at this moment in time was exalted when these great miracles happened, each according to each interpretation, each mafarish according to how his understanding of the topic that we are presenting here. Now let's learn now the Malbim. The Malbim was a bit esoteric. Okay, so we'll just run through the Malbim very quickly. I'm going to put the Malbim on the screen. Here we go. Here comes the Malbim. It's coming up right now. Okay. Okay, a little smaller. Okay. Ru'ucha, ato, now, bohat sir hasheni ech yis nasu hamayim la'alois al roshei hohorim. Now we're going to describe the second image, the second example of how it was seen. The waters ascended on the top of the mountains. V'lishtoif es ha'olam la'asois nekam v'agoyim. We're now going to describe how the waters ascended to flood the world, to take revenge against the nations of the world. Ad sheyecharad yisoid ha'afar, misoid ha'mayim ha'goyver olof, to the point where the foundation of the earth will tremble. Let's see. V'zehu she'omar ro'ucho yochilu harim, ki ha'mayim misnasim la'alois al harere ad. The waters ascended above the mountains. It sounds like the Mabul. Zeremayim asheovar nosan tohoim koiloi, the torrent of water that passed made a very loud noise. Nosan tohoim koiloi olof, opposite, I guess, towards whatever it was flowing against, whatever it was flowing against, it made a loud noise. V'nasa yodeu l'rum l'malo, yodehu here, according to the Malbim, the subject of the word yodehu is the hands of the water. It ascended la'alois el ha'odim u'l'chasoysim to cover them, mitzayer sh'atohoim nosan koiloi, the tohoim made noise, u'fikudosoy al zedem shal ma'im o'iver, v'shoytef, it was, mission was to flood the world. The Ali de Pekuda Satohim Yisa has Zedem es Yadav El Haroim. And through the appointment, through the mission of the Tohim, this torrent will raise its hands high. Kama. Now what does this mean exactly? So here he explains. Ki hamalitza titzayer ki ilu hatohim yitin koilo alamayim kumashakosuf tohim el tohim karet lukol tzinarecha. The Tohim makes noise. The Ali de Hakola Tohim is Nasehamayim La Alois El Roshim Agbil Negin Masham Mashamokam Sheyavu Yisrael Tigmar Horitz Al Nahoris Vesachri Vain. This is just a Melitza that when Klal Yisrael will enter into Eretz Yisrael to conquer the land, they will make a lot of noise. They will prevail. Their presence will be felt, will be sensed. Uvehebech Mamokam Tsura Yisrael Yigmaru Hamayim Al Oretz. And instead of the enemies of the Jews, this is a melitza, this is a metaphor, this is an expression describing the conquest of the land. That when Klal Yisrael will enter into Eretz Yisrael, it will be as if there will be a great flood that will flood the mountains. The mountains here is a metaphor for the Umas Olam, for the kings of Canaan, rock the land. And when they come into the land, they will flood, the Klal Yisrael will flood, will be dominant and control the land. Okay, so we'll leave it with that. One thing I want to point out, and we're not going to go into this now, but we spent a lot of time on this in the past, is water makes a lot of noise. Times that every single liquid, when you pour a liquid, every liquid has a different decibel level. When you pour water, there is a sound. When you pour pineapple juice, it produces a sound. When you pour orange juice, it produces a sound. When you pour wine, it produces a sound. When you pour oil, it's almost quiet. Every single liquid has a unique sound that is heard when it moves, when it travels. From all of the liquids in the world, the liquid which makes the most noise is water. The liquid which makes the least amount of noise is oil. And that's why very often we compare oil to water in reference to sound. Koil Hashem al Hamayim. Hashem's koil is on Mayim. Mayim Rabim Adirim, because Mayim from all of the liquids of the world makes the most noise. And we want to describe Hashem's sound, Hashem's presence. The metaphor, Hashem has the loudest voice. He can outshout. His voice can be as loud, can outshout any other sound in this world. Just like Mayim produces the loudest sound, so too. Can you hear me? Are you having a problem hearing me, Rabbi Sai? Michal, can you hear me?
I can't get to the controls. Hold on.
Are other people hearing me okay?
It's not that loud. Let's put it that way.
Let me see what's going on. Let me just check with other people over here. Anyone else want to comment? Rabbi Mayevsky, how is the sound? What do you hear?
I hear it fine.
I hear it very good. I'm on the phone.
I hear it fine.
Mark, are you okay?
I had to shut off the air conditioner, so I'll sweat, but I'll hear
you. I agree, Long.
Very good, no problem.
Very good.
Continue. Michal, do you have all of your sound settings loud on the very bottom of your screen?
Yeah. But I just shut off the air conditioner so that it would make it a little bit better.
Settings. If you look at the computer, the very bottom of the screen.
I looked at the volume. I already, before I got on, I looked at my volume. It's on the max. In-call is on the maximum.
Or you
okay, just go ahead.
Okay.
I would like to say something on the water.
Oh, please, already.
In Sefer Tehillim, in Bach in Nafshi, he was talking about the water there, and he says, "Al harim yamdu maim min garatcha yenusun kol ramcha yechafezun." The water goes up to the mountain and comes down, and they do exactly. Wherever Hashem tells them to go, the water goes. Even if it's above, against nature, against gravity, and so forth. The water goes exactly where Hashem tells them to go. And then he says, and he gives them a limit. You go up to the beach and no more. You cannot go on. You stop right there. It's amazing, the whole description there in Bach in Nafshi about water. That's what I wanted to mention.
There's a lot of discussion. It's absolutely true. Absolutely. You have a lot of the mekoros of the fact that water makes absolutely. Look. There is a Maimon Chazal here. Let me put it up on the screen. Here it goes. Okay.
Okay, let's see where it's from.
Okay. Nosan Tohoim, make it a little smaller. Nosan Tohoim, Pasik Yud. Nosan tohoim koloi roim yodeu nosar, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Omar. Amalek chushvan hoya. The nation of Amalek were magicians. The word chushvan means a machashef in the brackets. Mo hoya oise. Hoya mamid bene adam biyoim ginisya shaloi. They would take people on their birthday, loimar, loy. They would, in other words, they would select to go to war in a very large army. And the soldiers that would go to the front line were the soldiers whose birthday it was in that day. Loimar, loy b'mehera adam noifel b'yom ginisya shaloi. A person does not die.
Where'd you go?
Person imminent. Okay, there is a year when the person, and that. And therefore, on day of a birthday, it's much more likely he'll be successful. So they would select people whose birth was to use them to their soldiers on this front line. Now that was a very big problem because their koyach was very strong spiritually. Me also Moshe, what the what Moshe did was Irbeb es hamazolos. Moshe Rabbeinu, he confused the mazolos. Hadohu dichstiv, shemesh yoreach omad zivula. The sun, the moon stood zivula. Zivula is one of the seven heavens. We have in Shemayim, we may not understand this scientifically, but Chazal tell us that in heaven there are seven heavens, and one of the heavens, the name of one of the heavens is Zivula, and the Shemesh, the Reach, Omad Zivula, which from the context of this pasuk means that Moshe Rabbeinu, he rearranged the location of where the sun was, the moon was, in order to change the mazolos. Now, it says in the pasuk, Nasan Tochayim Koyloi, Roim Yodeu Nasa, Shemesh Yoreach. Okay, this goes on to the next. He's leading now into the next pasuk. This really, what we're reading over here in pasuk Yud, really alludes to what it says in the pasuk Yud Aleph. Yud Aleph mentions the Shemesh and the Yoreach. Okay, and what does it mean to say Merom Yodehu Nasa Moshe? From the exaltedness of his hand, Moshe lifted up. Nasan Tochayim Koloi, Amolek Shenitan La'avdoin Kisvayim. Okay, so basically, without going into too much detail, because I obviously do not know, but what this Yerushalmi over here is saying is that Moshe Rabbeinu played their game. They would attempt. It's a very, there's a lot of depth in this Maimon Chazal. Amolek, the whole essence of Amolek is V'lo Yorei Elokim. This is what it says in Parashas Kisetz about Amalek. They are people who do not fear God. So what do they fear? What then do they fear, Amalek? The answer is they live in a world of mazel. There is a predisposition that every person has, every soul has, when and where he will be successful. Amalek knew how to manipulate nature. They knew how to manipulate science to their advantage. Spiritual people, and you believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but there are rules in this world that you have to follow, and if you're not going to follow them, you're going to die. And we who are the experts in the laws of nature, the laws of science, will prevail against you. Moshe Rabbeinu, and here's what's very profound about this medrash. Moshe Rabbeinu, according to this Chazal, did not fight Amalek with spirituality. That's a shocking thing to say. But Moshe Rabbeinu said, you want to fight against me with science? So you know what? I'll fight with science. I'm also a scientist. I also have a PhD in molecular physics. Okay, I also am a chemist. I'll play your game because I want to show you that there is nothing that is outside the framework of Torah and Yira Shamayim. Don't make a mistake and think that you're right. In the world of science, you are dominant. You are more powerful than us. It's just that we have a Ribbono Shel Olam and he has his own little bag of tricks. That's incorrect. Besides, Hashem has his own bag of tricks and Hashem is Lamala Midrash HaTeva. Torah is the DNA of science. Science works in our favor. Science and nature are available, are present to help us. And that's what this medrash is saying. When Amalek came against Klal Yisrael with the laws of mazel, the laws of nature, Moshe Rabbeinu said, I will fight you in the laboratory. I'm not going to fight you in the base medrash. Because I know you're not going to come to the base medrash. I know you're not going to be willing to talk about godliness and about religion and theology. You want to destroy us in the laboratory? So, you know what? We will come into the laboratory. And I will outsmart you. I will defeat you in the laboratory, in the world of science as well.
This, Rabbi Levine, it sounds as though Amalek wanted to use that science, as you call it, to its advantage. And what Moshe Rabbeinu did was to neutralize the advantage, and then they could fight them man to man. and defeat them that way.
Correct. That's all part of what I'm trying to say.
In other words, his actions didn't defeat them. It just took away their advantage.
His act, well, they were defeated. They were, I mean, they were neutralized. They survived to fight another day, but at the time...
Yeah, in battle.
He's drawing from what it says in Pasuk Gidal, Shemesh Yoreach Omad Zivula. Now, to understand the depth of these words is impossible. All we know is the word Zivula is the name of one of the heavens, and the Shemesh and the Yoreach have a position in these heavens. And this alludes to the mazel, where the shemesh and the yerech are positioned relative to a person's status. Chazal tells a person is born on Wednesday, he has a predisposition for this. Born on Tuesday, everything all depends upon the hour and the day when a person is born. Somehow there's a mazel, the shemesh, the yerech, are positioned in a certain position relative to the person's existence when he comes into this world. And that is what we call a mazel, which we have really no idea how these things work. But what it does mean is that there are certain things that happen in this world that appear to be outside religion, outside the Yad Hashem. It's a natural phenomenon of science and Teva. And Amalek was an expert in this matter to the degree where they would put on the battlefield people who had the strongest mazel for that particular day, and the simple example is the day that they were born, and they would use this to they would use this knowledge, their advanced technology and understanding of the sciences and nature against us who don't dwell upon these things. And when we would expect Moshe Rabbeinu to come with a sledgehammer with miracles, Oysosumosim, to destroy them, and guess what? Moshe says, no, you know, today's not the day where I'm going to go and bring an Esh Min HaShemayim and do with you the 10 Makos. That was in Egypt. In Egypt, we fought Paro with things that were outside the laws of science. The 10 Makos, Kriyas Yamsuf. Now in the desert, when we deal with Amalek, we're going to show them that being that we have received the Torah, Hashem gave us the Torah. The Torah is not just lamala miderech hateva. The Torah is the building blocks, the DNA of nature and science. Now that we have an understanding of the sciences, we can use talk about the debates, the disputations between the Chachmei Yisrael and the Notzrim, the disputations of the Ramban, Rabbeinu Yechiel, Mi Paris, time of the Meiram Meirenberg. What were these debates about? These were not debates trying to show up the Notzrim with smoke and mirrors. The people who debated the Christians took the very same psukim and they showed them, they proved to them that they do not know what they're talking about. Hashem has abandoned the Jewish people and has replaced us with a new religion, a new nation. There's a new Mashiach and there's what Rav Chol calls a replacement,
theology.
We've been replaced with replacement theology. The very same psukim that you're using to suggest, to prove your thesis, we will prove to you logically, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that they're false. We don't have to come on to just emuna, have faith in the Ribbono Shel Olam, because someone who does not want to have faith will never have faith. Magic, science, nature, to prove that you're correct. We also have access to that logic. And in fact, our understanding is far superior than yours because we have a
You're in and out.
Okay, I know why I'm in and out because this phone is in and out. So I said, no, I want, if you just can give me, if you give me one second, I want to reboot, okay? Everybody says, I'm going to reboot. I'm operating off an internet connection, which for some reason the phone goes on and off. No, I'm not. You know what? Let me just power it. Let me give it some power. Maybe that will make a difference. Okay, let's try this. Okay, let's continue. We'll see what happens. Let's see what happens. Okay, so that is the basic idea here of this Maimer Chazal. Let's go to the next Maimer Chazal. The next Maimer Chazal, we continue on the page, Vayibaku Hamayim. Okay, if you can see on the page, Vayibaku Hamayim, can you see it? I hope you can see it on the page. By mistake, I turned the phone the wrong way. So it got a lot smaller. Now I'm turning it. Let's see if you can see it. Okay, Vayibaku Hamayim. It's says here, Vayibaku Hamayim, Kol Mayim Sheba Olam Nivku. This, the famous Chazal, that when it came to Kriyas Yamsim, it wasn't just the water of the Yam that split. Every body of water in the entire world split into two. Kol Hamayim Sheba Olam Nivku. Uminayin Ata Oimer Af Hamayim Ho Elyonim V'Hatachtoinim Nivku. We know that in my Bereshis, it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mavdil ben hamayim asher mitachas lo rekiah ben hamayim asher me'al lo rekiah. So there's mayim in the shamayim. How do we know that the mayim in shamayim, in the heavens, in places up there that we have no understanding of, even those waters split? How do we know that? Shenemar, ru'ucha mayim elokim. This pasuk in Tehillim, ru'ucha, they saw you, the mayim elokim, the godly waters, ru'ucha mayim, the water saw you, Yochilu, they were afraid. Af Yirgizu, they trembled to Hoimois. Now here the Gemara darshins the Pasik, Ru'ucha Mayim Yochilu, Elu Hoel Yoinim. When it says in Tehillim, when the Pasik repeats the Mayim twice, the first reference refers to the Mayim El Yoinim. These are the Mayim El Yoinim. Af Yirgizu to Hoimois. The depths trembled. Elu Hatach Toinim. What's the source? Our pasuk, the source of another pasuk there in Tehillim, which will come to our pasuk in a moment. Zarmu mayim avos, it flowed, mayim water, avos clouds, kol nosnu shechakim. Zarmu mayim avos, and it's the comma. Zarmu mayim avos, waters in the cloud float, kol nosnu shechakim. Shechakim, the heavens. Secha yishalachu. Okay, chatzot secha means.
Fade it out again.
The oimer no santam koloi. All right, so give me one moment. I'm going to reboot. It should take about 30 seconds, okay? I'll be back in 30 seconds. Don't go away. Here we go. I'm pressing the button. Power off and restart. Restart the phone.
Alan, you out there? Okay.
Michael, yes.
Okay, back on. Okay, let's try it now. Hopefully now it'll be better. Okay. Everyone can hear me?
Yep.
Okay, let's try now. Hopefully now it'll be better. All right, let's now move on to the next pasuk yud aleph. Pasuk yud aleph, v'shemesh yireach omad zivula. The shemesh and the yireach, it stood in the heaven called Zivula. Le'or chitzecha yehalechu. It was guided by the light of your arrows. Chitzech and Pasuk Yud Aleph goes back to the keshes of Pasuk Tes. In Pasuk Tes, we learned there was the area Seor Kashtecha. Hashem has exposed his bow. A bow needs an arrow. And here in Pasuk Yud Aleph, we learn about the bows, the bows of the arrow. Lo'or chitzecha yehalechu, the shemesh and the areach, they travel because of the light of the arrows. Linoga, the brilliant radiance, berak chanisecha. We repeat the word yehalechu again. They travel through the light of the radiance of the shine, the radiant shine of your sword or your spear. Let's see what it says in Pasuk Yud Aleph, the Mitzvah started. The Mitzvah of Pasuk Yud Aleph says, Shemesh, Yoreach, Omad Zvula, Bimei Yoshua, Omad Kol Echa Mehem, Bimidoro, V'loholcha Mahalocha, K'may Shenema, Vayidoim, HaShemesh, V'yoreach Omad. According to the Mitzvah Stavid, we are cross-referencing, we're referring to the story in Yeshua, when Yeshua fought against the Malchi Canaan, when he came into Eretz Yisrael, there was a miracle where there was not enough time during the day to finish the battle, and they needed to extend the day. And Yeshua said to the sun, the moon, stop, we need more time. How often in your life do you have that situation? When you're very busy, you have a deadline, taxes. Right, taxes, you're filing taxes. It's January 14th, and it's soon going to be midnight. The clock is going to strike, and I just need a few more minutes to finish my taxes. This year, you have a problem this year. This is April 15th. This year, no problem, because this year you have until July 15th. Nothing changes. It'll be the same dilemma you'll have on July 14th to get your taxes in the very last moment. The point over here is that Yeshua, he needed more time, and the way, what happened was the sun and the moon stopped in Shemaim in order to give Yeshua more time in order to finish the job. That was the miracle. Next words of the Mitzvah, Lo'or chitzach yalechu Yeshua v'yamu holchu lo'or barzel. They traveled. Lo'or barzel chitzei ha'makam. Hashem's light of iron, the chitzei ha'makam baruch hu, Hamavik b'yoseh, which shines brightly. Ritzon lemar hitzlichu b'koyach zeroi echa is just an expression, a metaphor that Kadosh Baruch Hu, the success of Yeshua was only due to Hashem's power. Lenoiga hu chefel inyan b'miloshonis, this is poetic repetition. Okay, so this over here, according to Mitzvah, very similar. We are describing over here the battle of Yeshua. Everything according to the Mitzudos refers to our journey, our entry into Eretz Yisrael. We left Mitzrayim, and there were miracles. There was Kriyas Yamsuf, and in the desert, Hashem provided us with Mon, and we had the story with Nachal Arnon, we had the story with the Milchemes of Sichon and Oig, and now we come into Eretz Yisrael. Here there was a battle. There was not enough time to finish the battle, so Hashem did a miracle. He told the sun and the moon to stop. He stopped the atomic clock to give them more time to finish the battle. Rashi, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Omad Zavula, Bim Do Rehon. According to Rashi, the word Zivula is a generic word. It's not a mystical word. It means in their dwelling place, the sun and the moon stopped. They stopped moving in the heavens. I mentioned to you before that Chazal gives seven names to seven heavens. In Shemayim, there are seven, the Shechokim, Zavula, there is Ma'on, Hashkifa, Mim'oin, Kotshecha. What's Ma'on? Ma'on is one of the seven heavens. Another name is the Shechokim. Another name is the Shemayim. Another name here is Zavula, the abode. We say a bracha by a shev brachas. Sameach tismach reim avim kitzalich. Shasimcha bimeoinoi. In this particular dwelling heaven, there is the midah of simcha. So every makom has its part of heaven has its name, and in that particular heaven there is a certain emotion. The emotion that's found in Zavula is not the same emotion that you're going to find in Ma'on. The emotion you're going to find in Shechokim is not the same emotion you're going to find in Shemayim. Every location has a different feeling. Okay, let's go further in Rashi. But Rashi over here does not say that. Rashi just says very simply, he says the word Zivula is just a generic term, which means in their abode. And then he gives some grammar. Why is there a hey at the end of the word? It should say in Zivul, in Zivul. This is a classic Rashi, he says in Chumash very often, kol hey any word, shetzrich lamed bitchilasa, heitel lo hey b'saifa, uperushoi al milchemes givoin kitargumoi. This refers
to. Back from a search.
This refers to Milchemes Givoin. Google heard me say something, and I triggered Google by saying something. In any event, this refers to Milchemes Givoin Kitargumai. That's it. We'll see the target in a few moments. And here is Omad Lizvul. Omad means it stood Lizvul. There really should be a lamed in the beginning. Lizvul, and because we, instead of having the lamed, we put a hey at the end. Okay, let's go further. Okay, now what is this referring to? This refers to hailstones. This is a very important concept. According to Rashi, Rashi is bringing the Medrash that in the Milchemes Givoin, when Yoshua conquered the Emorim, there were massive hailstones that came out of heaven. Where did these hailstones come from? Chazal teach us these were the leftover hailstones that were suspended in Shemayim at the time of Makas Borod. Makas Borod, hailstones came out of heaven. Paro begged Moshe, please pray to Hashem that the hail should stop. Moshe was mispalel, and the hail that was on its way down to the earth was suspended in mid-air. How long was it suspended for? For a very long time, until the time of the Milchemes Givoin, when Hashem released the suspension, and they now came down to wipe out the Givoinim. So that, what does this mean then? This is a very, very important insight, because it explains the Rashi and Chumash, and right over here, this is really powerful stuff. Let's go back to Makas Borot. In the parish of Makas Borot, Moshe says to Paro, in the name of Hashem, at this time I'm going to release Eskol Magefoisai, all of my power. And the question is, what are you talking about? Why is Borod singled out as being equal to all of the 10 Makos? It was not the last Makah. There was still Choshech, Makas Bechoros, Arbe, Choshech, Makas Bechoros. There were three more Makos to go. Why then does Hashem call Makas Borod as Kol Magefosai Mulamed, Shemakas Bechoros, Shekula Kineged Kol Hamakas? Rashi on that pasuk there says, from here we learn that the Makah of Borod was equal to all of the makos combined. Why? Why should that mach get the distinction of being equal to all of the makos? And the commentators have burnt the midnight oil and spilled gallons and gallons of ink trying to decipher what Rashi is saying. How could Rashi actually write this? How can the Pasuk actually say, es kol magefosai? And there are so many answers. I'm sure Mr. Kallis, I see that he's shaking his head. I think some have even the girsa. There's a mistake in the girsa. And the girsa is not makas borod, it's makas bechoyrois, not makas. There are different gear sois. Okay, that's not, I want to get into now. There are many, many different approaches to answer this question. But let me tell you now another answer, which leaps off the page that we're learning today. And that is, from all of the makos, was there any remnant of the makah later in Jewish history? And the answer is no. Makas dam was a one-time event. It happened once in Jewish history. That's it. It's over, done with. Makas Tzvardeya. Today there's no Tzvardeya anymore. It's over. It happened. It's done. Arbe, Choshech, Makas B'choyros. What did I leave out? Oroiv, Dever, Shchin. All of the 10 Makos happened once and it was over. There was only one Makah that lingered for generations, and that is the Makah of Barad. The Makah of Barad, the hailstones were descending. With the hailstones, there were koiloi subrokin. There was massive hailstones, massive rocks that came out of Shamayim that were hot and cold. Abnormal things were happening in the world. Sounds, it was accompanied by these very loud noises. And massive, can you imagine the craters it created in the ground, like asteroids from a science fiction movie destroying the world. And what happened? Paro was terrified. He begged Moshe, please pray to Hashem that it should stop. So Moshe prayed. But the prayer did not cause the rocks that were in motion, that were on their way down, to just self-destruct or to go back where they came from. The prayer of Moshe achieved that those stones and the sounds that were coming from heaven with those stones were suspended in mid-air. Now, when we say mid-air, it doesn't mean you look up into the sky and you see the stones. Obviously, it means that it's somewhere a lot higher. It's somewhere there. What happened to those stones? How long can they be suspended? Well, here we are. When we come into Eretz Yisrael, Hashem said, Givon, the Emorim were trying to prevent us from conquering the land. Hashem said, now those stones that were suspended in midair, I give you permission to resume, like in zoom.us. I give you permission now to resume, with an S, of course, to return, to continue on your merry way. And what did it accomplish? It allowed Klal Yisrael to conquer the land. It was the hashlomo of Yitzias Mitzrayim. The goal of Yitzias Mitzrayim was, there was a double goal. Tavdun es Elokim al Har Hazeh. When we leave Egypt, we're going to be mekabel the Torah. And number two, Vehevesi. And these two goals are intertwined. The intertwined is that the land of the Hevesi is going to be a land built upon the principles of the Torah HaKedosha. There's a contradiction. What's the contradiction? What is the goal of Yitzias Mitzrayim? Mitzad Echad, it says, Moshe Rabbeinu says to Klal Yisrael, In the psukim in Parshas Vaera, there is no mention of Torah. It's not there. Nothing. That's the goal. The goal is to come into Eretz Yisrael. Zionism. Zionism, conquer the land. But we have a contradiction. The contradiction is, B'yitziyacha es ha'omim Mitzrayim, ta'avdun es ho'elokim al ha'hor hazeh. Where? In the desert. No Zionism. You might as well go to Uganda. The goal is Torah. Torah is in the Midbar. So we have a contradiction. Is it Torah or is it Eretz Yisrael? Make up your mind. Are we supposed to live in America in the Midbar with Torah, or are we supposed to be Zionists and go into Eretz Yisrael? And the answer is Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. The goal is to come into a Torah Dika Eretz Yisrael. The goal is not just Vehevesi to come into the land and live a land, have a homeland, a secular homeland. That's not the goal. The goal is Tavdun es Elokim Alaharazeh, Torah. But it says also Vehevesi. That's right. It's two sides of one coin. The goal is to live and to enter into Eretz Yisrael and inject in the land Kedushas HaTorah, the Kedusha of Kabbalas HaTorah. When was that achieved? When was that achieved? In the time of Yehoshua. Yehoshua, who is the Talmud Muvok, V'hanari lo yomush mitoicho oyel. Yehoshua was the protege of Moshe Rabbeinu. He was the Talmud Muvok. This is the goal. From all of the 10 makos, the only mako that lingered and was instrumental in achieving the goal of Yitzias Mitzrayim, which the 10 makos were, the beginning, it was the beginning of the process. The only one that lingered on was Makas Bechoros. Now, by the way, Makas Bechoros, a part B, Makas Borod has a part B. What's the part B? With the Borod, in addition to the hailstones descending from heaven, there were also koilois, loud, frightening noises. When Paro demanded of Moshe that he pray to Hashem, if we look in the pasuk, he made a request for two things. Number one, enough of the hailstones. Number two, the sounds, the noises that are accompanying the hailstones is too much to bear. You have to cut out the volume, okay? It has to be muted. The sounds have to be muted. It's too much static. Moshe was mispalel. Hashem answered the tefillah and the sound stopped. But wait, we all know in science, sound travels. Sound doesn't dissipate. It doesn't disappear. Sound does not go back where it came from. A sound is like a woman who's pregnant. The baby has to come out one way or another. It's like a rabbi who has a drasha. He'll have to give out that drasha one way or another. A navi who has a prophecy, it's going to come out one way or another. Sound that is in motion, the sound wave must come forth. But it was suspended. When did the sound come out? Chazal tell us, v'imei Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu, when Chizkiyah was surrounded, Yerushalayim was besieged by Sancheriv. Sancheriv already at this point in time already succeeded in conquering the entire Eretz Yisrael, the exile, the Aseres HaShvatim, and most of Yehuda and Binyamin was also shut down. They were in quarantine. They all had a bunker in place, shelter in place in Yerushalayim. Any survivor that was left was sheltering in place in Yerushalayim, Yer HaKadosh. And the faithful in here who arrives, Sancheriv arrives, Erev Pesach. And he sees Yerushalayim and he says, tonight we're going to attack. Tomorrow morning we're going to attack. Tonight we're tired. We're going to attack tomorrow morning. And what happened in the middle of the night? Miraculously, in the middle of the night, all of the soldiers of Sancheriv, which were at least 800,000 men, if not a lot more, there are numerous calculations as to how many people were present, but at least 800,000 soldiers did not wake up the next morning. And Chazal tell us,
Rabbi Levine, excuse me, Rabbi Levine, I think the Sudas David mentions this in the Pasuk Yud Gimel, two psukim from now. It's Yotzosa Leyesha Amecha. So he says it refers to Chizkiyo, Melech Yehuda, and Sancheiru.
Right, so yeah, here was two parts. Here, Pasuk Yud Aleph and Yud Gimel are discussing the conclusion of the Makkah of Borod. What happened that night? Hashem said to those koilos from Makkah's Borod, now I am releasing you from your suspension, from being frozen in space. Now let the sound come forth. The soldiers, the 800,000 soldiers heard those sounds and their neshamos departed. So what is the significance there? These are two extremely significant events. The Milchama of Yehoshua, Shemesh Begivon Doim, and the battle and the miracle of Chizkiyahu Yerushalayim, it represents our acquisition of the land and our defense of the land. Yehoshua was active. It was an offense. We were here, we have entered, and we're here to conquer. And what was necessary to assist in the conquest? Borod. Go fast forward, Chizkiyahu, you know how many years later that is? That's 500 years later. It's a long time later. Okay, Chizkiyahu was smack in the middle of the Bayis Rishon. The Binyan Bayis Rishon took place 440 years after we entered into the land. And then from that, another 100 years. So it's already at least another 100 years go fast forward, maybe even more. So that's already 540, probably more like 600 years. 600 years later, now comes part two. What's part two? Hashem says to the sound waves that were part of Borod, it's now your turn to proceed, to be unsuspended, to deafen and to obliterate Sancheriv's army, to prevent them from attacking. What was happening in the time of Chizkiyahu? He was defending the land. He was the first IDF force, the Israeli Defense League, IDF, Israeli Defense Force. There's offensive action and there is defensive action. Yehoshua was on the offense. Chizkiyahu was on the defense. Both of them have in common, they took from Borod, the leftover elements of Borod. Yehoshua, for the offense, took the hailstones that were suspended. Chizkiyahu, for the defense of Eretz Yisrael, of Yerushalayim, he took from the sound waves that were suspended in Shemayim, allowed us to maintain, to retain, to defend the land. The offense and the defense, the story of Shemesh Begivon Doim, together with Chizkiyahu, is the Shleimus of Eretz Yisrael. It's really merumos in this week's parasha as well. What's in this week's parasha? The two nuns, the two upside down nuns. There are two psukim, 85 letters. Vayehi bin Soya ha'aroin. And then comes the second pasuk. What's the chilik between the first pasuk and the second pasuk? The first pasuk is offense, movement. The Aroid is going forward. We're going to conquer. We're moving forward to conquer our conquest. What's the second pasuk? Uvenucho yoimar. We're at a state of rest. And when the Oroin is in a state of rest, Shuva Hashem, Rivavois Alfa Yisrael, may you restore, may you grant restoration, Menucha, peace. This is an expression of defense. We're here. We're in a state of resting. We want to remain here. May there be the kibbutz Golius. May everyone remain in place safely and securely. There's a connotation in the Pasuk of Venucho Yomar that it is a defense, a pasuk of describing the defense of Eretz Yisrael. Uvihi ben Soya is the offense of Eretz Yisrael. And both of them are surrounded by the upside down nuns. This is a safe bifnei atzmai. This is the nace of Klal Yisrael. That the Netzach Yisholo Yishaker, both when we are on the offense, our conquest, and Mitzad Sheni, when we are defending Eretz Yisrael. The story of Yehoshua, Shemesh, Begivon Doim, is the story of the offense, the conquest. The story of Chizkiyahu highlights the defense of Eretz Yisrael. The common denominator is the residue, the shirayim, like a Rebbe, the shirayim from the Rebbe. Which makah? The makah of Barad. Now you appreciate why I will now send this kol magefoisai. Mikan, that Barad is shukula kineged kol hamakos. Because Barad is the makah that will linger for hundreds of years and be the closer, will not just be the part of the beginning of the initiation. The ten makos was just the beginning. We're slaves, and all of a sudden, you know, there's a shake-up. There's a shake-up in society. This changed the whole society, the ten makos. This was the haschola. The gemar is our acquisition of Eretz Yisrael, a Torah-dika Eretz Yisrael, in the time of Chizkiah and in the time of Yehoshua. And you have to remember both, why are these two individuals extremely high, why are they highlighted? Let's clarify, this is another extremely important point. Why am I highlighting these two individuals, Yehoshua and Chizkiyahu? There is no question from all of the battles, all of the events of the Nevi'im Rishonim, when we're dealing with the conquest of the land, the two Ishaya Tanakh that had that expressed the most unique chavivus for the Torah are Yehoshua and Chizkiyahu. How do I know this? Because in the battle of Ai, what happens? Everyone knows these psukim by heart, except for me. When the Malach sees Yehoshua waiting at night, and he said, so Yehoshua did not know, who is this image in front of me? Are you a Malach, or are you a demon? And he says, I'm a Malach, and I'm here to tell you, I'm here to give you a message. I don't remember all the details. Why are you not learning Torah? Right now you're not fighting. Right now it's nighttime. There's no battle. And all the soldiers are out in the streets having a beer. Bittul Torah. Atabasi. The Ata Kisvu Lochem Es Hashira Hazois. The Malach came to give Musar to Yehoshua, who was the protege of Moshe Rabbeinu. Lo Yomush, V'hanar Lo Yomush Mitoicha Oyal. Bittul Torah. Every second counts. And then the Pasuk says, Yehoshua was Mekabel the Musar. Vayolen Shom Balaila Hahu. He was lawn in the oil of Torah. Yehoshua, in the dawn of the battle of Ai to conquer Eretz Yisrael, he was the general. It was built on the principle of Talmud Torah. Chizkiyahu, Chazal stayed over and over, the only reason why he merited this awesome miracle where 800,000 men of Chizkiyahu, of Sancheriv, suddenly died without warning, was in the zchus of the shamnoi, the oil of Chizkiyahu. He burnt the midnight oil. They sat and they learned Torah. He told the Talmidim, he was mechazeh Klal Yisrael. Mr. Kalis, I can't hear what you're saying. Mr. Kalis, are you speaking to us? Chizkiyahu, he taught Klal Yisrael the chashivos of Talmud Torah. And that's what we start in the beginning. The contradiction. We have two psukim. What is the goal? What's the end game of Yitzias Mitzrayim? Is the end game Zionism? Or is the end game what it says in Shemois? Contradiction. And the answer is, Elu v'elu divrei Elokim chayim, you cannot separate one from the other. The goal is to be mekabel the Torah and to inject that Torah, that kedushas haTorah, into the land, into Eretz Yisrael. Who were the Ishei Tanakh that synthesized the land, the conquest and the defense of the land, mitoich a hashkafa of pure, authentic Torah? Yehoshua vayolen ba'layla hahu ato bossi v'ato kisud chemes hashir hazois vayolen shem ba'layla hahu v'lon be'omko shel halacha. And Chizkiyahu, mitoch shamnoi shel Chizkiyahu, it was shattered, the power of Sancheirib. I don't remember the pasuk, but it was Chizkiyahu, the zechus of Chizkiyahu, insisting, he was noat zachenef on the walls of the Bote Midrashim, and he said, anyone that does not come to Beis Medrash, yidoker b'cheref. Today we have just the opposite. Today in Corona, they put a cheref on the shuls. Anyone who comes into shul is yidoker b'cheref. We live in Olam Hafuch. Olam Hafuch Reisi. Right? They are big signs. You see these videos? They have a video. The guy went around to every shul he could find, and he took a picture of the sign on every single shul. You know, you sure that was a very fascinating video. That video, you have to go back and look at it. It speaks volumes. Who wrote those signs? The Rabbonim. Every Rav, this is something which should be studied and highlighted. Really give a whole shiur on this. I find it to be totally fascinating. There was a person that wanted, this is just Derech Agav. He was, I don't even remember what he was bringing out. He was bringing out some point, and he went around in his car, and he went to every shul he can find, I think, mainly in Lakewood. I don't even know the places. And he took a picture of the sign on the shul that said, "We're closed. We're closed for business." And every sign had a different nusach. And you read the nusach very carefully, it speaks volumes of the hergish of the one who wrote that sign. What's by the order of the mayor, or by the CDC, or the public health professionals, we are closed. And some rabbanim will write, it's very unfortunate, it's a gezeira min hashamayim. There's a gezeira min hashamayim that we have to be closed. Some rabbanim wrote very little. You know why this touched a chord with me? Because I was in shul on the night where I hang out a lot, where the rabbi shut down the shul. I thought he would never shut down. This rabbi, I thought, would never shut down. But he shut down very quickly, very quickly. And he asked me to make the sign. So I said, what should I write? So he said, I don't remember exactly what happened. So he said to me, just write whatever you want. So I wrote a nusach on my phone, one of my notepad, and I showed him what I wrote. And he said, no, too much. Be mekatzer, and spoke for a few minutes, and we took what I wrote, and we rewrote it together. He wrote what he wanted, and we wrote it, and it was very, very short. And then I took out a piece of paper, I wrote it. I think I had to do it twice until, you know, I got it the way I wanted. Got some thick, heavy tape, and I put it on the door, and it remained there for, I don't know, for about a very long time. And towards the end of this tkufa, I guess because of the rain and the weather, it began to fall off. And then one day I came, and it was gone. But I have a picture. I have my own picture. I took a picture of it. And when I saw that video of all the different signs of the Lakewood Beis Medrash and this one and that one, it's amazing. You could write a book, a sefer, analyzing analyzing a psychoanalysis of what was going through the mind of the Rabbanim who wrote those signs, or whoever wrote those signs.
It's called a bittere gelechter in Yiddish, yeah.
No, it's not, it's not, it's not, it's not, the whole thing is, it's not a joke.
But it's a sad joke. It's a sad,
not even a period. Joke. This was a mitzias. This is a mitzias that the shuls had to be shut down, and there had to be a sign for whatever reason. You don't have to have a sign. Why do you have to have a sign? The shuls, everyone knows the shul is closed. For some reason, every rav felt it's not just enough to close the shul. There had to be a sign. I know a rav in Lakewood. He told me firsthand that when he shut down his shul, he spent the entire first day sitting in the freezing cold in front of his shul, besides the sign, telling the balabatim who came to shul, this is not a joke. The shul is really closed. Go home. People will come there to learn, daven. Everyone has the combination. Everyone knows how to get in through this way, that way. Of course, all the shuls, they changed the locks. Everyone changed the locks, combinations. Everyone I know changed the combination and the locks. They made a lot of money, the locksmiths, during this time. Everyone, no one should get it. So they did this, but everyone somehow knows how to figure out how to break in. Everyone knows. He told me he sat there the entire day in the freezing cold in front of the shul. A person comes there and he says, you're not going here. This is serious business. Go home. Lock yourself up. People are dying. This is not a joke. Sat there the entire day in front of his shul. It's a very big shul. A lot of people hang out there to impress upon the people, this is not a joke. Go home. Every rav, for whatever reason, felt they had to put a sign on the door. And the nusach of the sign spoke volumes. This is nothing new. Chizkiyahu HaMelech also put a sign on the door. He didn't put a sign, he put a symbol. Noatz Cheref. He thrust a sword on the door. And it said there, it's not clear, did he say, call me anyone that doesn't come in, does not come in to the Beis Medrash to learn Torah. He should be perforated. He should be killed with this sword. And because of his insistence, Bodku midon ve'ad be'er sheva v'loy matzu tinek v'tinoikos, there was not a baki in the most difficult sugyas of negon v'ohalos, in the most difficult sugyas of shas, even by the little children. Today, like I told you, unfortunately, the sign was just the opposite. Anyone that comes into shul is in a lot of trouble. You know, right before Corona broke out, if you remember the last episode,
I want to say something. There is here one word that doesn't belong. Shemesh v'yareach amad. That was supposed to be enough. Shemesh b'yivon dom, v'yareach b'emek ayalon. Amad, that's it. What is Zvulo doing here? So I think it's a remes to this time. The Zvul is Beit Hashem. Zvulo, Azvul Shelo is Beit Hashem. Amad, stop. Nobody goes into Zvulo, to Beit Hashem. Shemesh v'yareach, day and night, it's closed. Shemesh v'yareach amad zvulo. Gamarno. It's a remes to now, because otherwise it's not necessary there. Shemesh v'yareach amad, that's it.
Very.
Up till Hashem yagid, okay, now you can go.
I didn't understand.
You need this zvulun, you need this zoom only. Zoom is the only thing that works.
Let me just close with this thought. I mentioned to you before, right before Corona broke out, the last episode in Jewish life in this community was anti-Semitism. There was a spike in January, February in anti-Semitism. And right before this broke out, there were many shuls who still did not have combination locks on their doors. box. It's hard. I don't know if everyone remembers this because we were so overwhelmed with what happened. And then everyone forgot about anti-Semitism. At that time, you know, there was a lot of talk. You know, the government, this is before they decided they're going to defund the police force, but they were giving a lot of money to shuls and yeshivas and for security. And I found it very, very, very sad. We're in Chaim Berlin, where I used to spend some time. I haven't been there in a long time already since Corona broke out. But they have a very sophisticated security system. The whole place is wired from top to bottom with cameras. It's not even real what the control room looks like. And now, I don't know how they got the money for this. They have security 24/7. They have guys that walk around the block. I don't know who's paying for all this. And they really tightened the place. You know, you can't get in there. It's not so simple to get in there. Even you get in there, you know, they look you up and down. What's going on? And it's so sad that when Corona broke out, the same security people that were hired to protect who was inside from the elements that were outside were now anyway being paid by the government, were there the whole day to make sure that none of us come inside. It was in a hapichu. The government was basically the same security, which anyway was there. No boy is allowed to enter the building. The building is locked down. Go home, shelter in place. The same security that was supposed to protect from the outside, now it's mamish v'na hapichu. It's very, very sad. But this idea over here, this idea is, to recap very quickly, we have over here a very beautiful idea. We have borod. Over here, Pasuk Yud Aleph is describing, according to Chazal, according to Rashi, borod. The avonim gidoilois min hashamayim. This is borod. This is the conclusion of Makas Barat. And Pasuk Yud Gimel will describe the second part of Barat, the Koylai Suvarokim of Barat. Now we understand why Barat is called Kol Magei Foysai. It is the Hashloma. The Ten Makos was the beginning of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Yehoshua and Chizkiyahu represent the Gemar of the offense and the defense of Eretz Yisrael. And Eretz Yisrael that's Bedavka Miyucha to a land of Kedusha, of Torah, Atabasi, Vayolon Shambeimek, Chizkiyahu, the Shamnoi Shol Chizkiyahu, Noratz Cherev, on the Koitzel of the Beis Medrash. They represent the Hashlama. The two are interconnected. Borod is Shokol Kenei Kolamakvitz because it takes us from the beginning all the way through the end. All right, we'll stop over here. We'll take a short break. I wanted to speak to you today after the break, talk about two things. First of all, tomorrow is a Tainus. As a Tainus that unfortunately we do not observe the 20th day of Sivan. It's a very important Tainus. Talk about that a little bit. And also I want to talk about Matzevos. In this week's parasha, there's two remazim to a Matzeva. You'll see what I mean. I want to talk about some interesting things about putting up a Matzeva and what a Matzeva is all about. I'll see you back.
Rabbi Levine?
Yes.
Interesting about the Borod, it seems to be that's the only Makkah that also took place outside the borders of Mitzrayim.
Correct. That is correct. In Eretz Yisrael, absolutely.
You can probably tie that into this whole Devar Torah. Okay.
I think there's another Makkah that's really around today, especially it's been revitalized the last 2 weeks. That's Arayth. I mean, all these multitude, all these chayas destroying all the cities for different sects.